Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And it's that time of year. It's not every year that we get to do this, but when we do, it's a big one. We're reviewing a Pixar film. Matt, what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about the film Inside Out, which is quite appropriate because my insides this week have felt all sorts of upheaval as I've had to battle the flu.
Yeah, if you saw Michael Jordan play the flu game, if you saw Leslie Knope in the flu season of Parks and Recreation, Matt is trying to recreate that for Screen Verdict. I've always referred to you as the Michael Jordan of podcasting. He's fighting through it, and he's going to podcast for you loyal fans despite the flu.
Yeah, so if I cough, that's why. I do apologize. I guess this is an audio medium. Yes.
So why are we so excited to talk about Pixar? What does Pixar mean to Screen Verdict?
It was our first ever podcast, was a definitive rank of all the Pixar movies, with the reflection that Pixar is the one studio in Hollywood that every movie they've made has been a classic, has been a brilliant movie. They had something like 12, 11 films in a row that were all just really, really good films. Not just really good quality, but well-reviewed, well done at the box office. They're all massive hits. Like, just this incredible run of brilliance. Something that needed our attention and got our respect. Not something that's easy to get in Hollywood.
It's like you get an assorted box of chocolates. I mean, there's bound to be some ones that you like, but there's also bound to be some ones that you don't like. That's just how it goes. But Pixar put out 11 or 12 things in a row that were all just crushed it out of the park. Now, that was the premise of making the rank in our first ever podcast. It didn't really take too long for that streak to be broken, as we were a little underwhelmed by Cars and... Cars 2, correct. And I sort of felt the same way about Brave. I think you thought it was perhaps a little bit better than I did. And then Monsters University, back on form to a degree. We liked Monsters University, but we didn't think it was one of the all-time Pixar classics. So going into Inside Out, there's a lot on the line.
Yeah, we were happy to put, like, Monsters University, they're back on track, but it was the lower end of their form, like, and Brave, I thought, was better than Cars 2, because at least there's some original stuff in there, but it definitely was still, you look at it sort of like DreamWorks sort of level, which is not what you want to be hearing when you're the Pixar people.
So what we're going to be doing is talking about Inside Out, and then at the end, we're going to see where it places on the all-important Screen Verdict Pixar rank.
Yeah, we will be placing it.
So
we don't even know where it ranks now.
You will know the moment we do where it ends up on the rank.
Okay, Inside Out, Jonathan. I had a fun experience going to see this movie. I got invited to a press screening in Sydney. I was invited inside of the cinema to see it. Inside Out. And unfortunately, couldn't find anyone to go with. Everyone was busy that night. One friend, she had a graduation, like, on that evening, graduation dinner sort of thing. Another friend, there's something else on. I did the crazy message to a couple of Facebook groups on the day. Hey, anyone want to see this movie at this time? Like, just let me know. I've got a free ticket. Someone called me going, oh, yeah, really keen. I can get there at 7:30. It's like, oh, movie starts at 10 to 7. You're not, like, it's not worth it. Anyway, I went on my own, but so a little bit sad going on my own, but then really impressed when I got a free copy of Amy Poehler's autobiography from the publisher. on the way. So, some swag. And then I was able to capitalize, because I said to the person at the desk handing them out, I was like, oh, my plus one couldn't make it. Can I have a second one? And they said, of course. So,
thanks, Matt. That's awesome. Like, just whenever it gets, I know it takes a while to ship internationally, but whenever it gets here, that's awesome.
Well, I thought my friend who was graduating, she's a massive Amy Poehler fan.
Oh, so she'll be disappointed that she didn't get it. You gave it to me.
Well, I was thinking of it to her. I already sent her a text saying, hey, I got you something for your graduation.
Oh, so you didn't specify what it was.
I need to get her something else now. Like, I need to go buy her or something. Like...
Yeah, maybe you can buy her one ticket to see Inside Out, and you can just say, oh, here you go, I got tickets to see Inside Out, just the one, so you can see it on your own, like I did.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, we'll sort that out later, I guess, to sort out the book. I should have asked for a third one, shouldn't I? So, I saw the movie. Did you see the movie, Jonathan?
I did see the movie. I had a friend, a girlfriend. She doesn't like it when I refer to her as a friend. No, saw her with Bonnie. Yes, she has seen a few Pixar films and liked them, but she's not seen all of them. She's not necessarily the Pixar fiends that we are. So, you know, I was a little bit nervous. You know, Pixar not necessarily in the best of form. So I was really hoping that Inside Out was going to be good, so we could. You just fight on through, mate. So we could convert her to being the Pixar fans that we are. So Inside Out, the premise of the film is that we have a little girl, and inside that little girl, she has emotions, and those emotions are the main characters in the film. We have, I believe, five emotions. We have joy, anger, sadness, fear, and disgust. So Matt came up with this.
Honestly, I'm so glad, like, the film's tagline wasn't, like, get inside a little girl or anything like that. Like... because it's a very innocent movie.
Yeah, well, maybe that could have been a good tagline, like, ever wanted to get inside a little girl? And then anyone that says yes, you report them to police.
Oh, yeah, that's because we had to go, because the pervert, like, sicko market is huge in America. That's why I thought, like,
you know,
that's why the pornography industry is making more money than Hollywood,
With illegal downloading, it's so hard to, you know, get people into the cinemas these days. You've got to hit a different market, and the weirdos, those are the people that are prepared to pay. So maybe we should target them.
Yeah.
But
I like your idea of calling the police. That's a good...
Very child-friendly. Everyone can go see it. So, Matt, you came up with a format for discussing the film. How is it going to work?
Okay, we're going to talk about, because there's movies about the five emotions you just explained. We're going to talk about what made us happy, what made us sad, what made us angry, what made us fearful, and what made us disgusted in the movie.
Right. Should we start on off a high note? Let's. What made us happy? What made us joyous?
Oh, you're going to say angry, because you like getting angry so much. But no, happy. Yes, I like it. Joy. The tentpole emotion of the film. She's running the ship. She's the head of, like, sort of everything, making sure everything's happening.
I like this because I think if you want one of those characters to be the lead, she's sort of the leader, I guess, like the primary. She's the one most motivated to, you know, make decisions and get everyone going because... I guess she's joyous. And joyous people are just like that. So that, I think that was a good emotion to be the lead. I was happy with that. Voiced by Amy Poehler, who we're a big fan of from Parks and Rec, SNL, things like that. Yeah. So things that made me joyous. First of all, I think it's a brilliant premise. I really like the idea. I mean, what better way to give an emotion, a film, more feels than to make the main characters of the film actual feels?
Mm. Yes. It's very easy to understand the motivations of the characters.
No, what? You were never questioning character decisions.
No. So, yeah, no, it was very good. It was, yeah, it's very, is it? And there's something really, like, nice about this film and happy about this film. There's bright colours. There's, like, the animation's very good. Yeah, it's very cool, the memories and things that go through shoots and stuff.
Yeah, and I liked the premise, and I really loved the execution and the creativity and the detail that went into the way the mind works and memory works with the, you know, the little memory marbles or whatever they were, and how there was the different islands of Riley's personality, and there were just little funny things like the train of thought. You know, it was like an actual train which went around the mind, her mind. Little things like that were just really clever and really brought you into, you know, a new world. And you would describe this in a previous Pixar podcast, you know, as much as sequels can be good. The great thing about Pixar is they're so creative, and very few other, you know, films or studios are able to create a world that is as creative, engaging, exciting, that just really sucks you in as Pixar. And for them to do this with this film and be so successful was, you know, it really had me interested in the story and what was going to happen next.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. Very happy. Anything else make you happy about the movie?
What made me happy? I liked, what was the character called? The kind of, like, the imaginary friend who looks kind of like a cat and an elephant and all of those things mixed together.
Bonzo, I don't know.
Bonzo or something like that. There were a bunch of great side characters like him, the little people that, that vacuumed the memory marbles or balls into the memory dump and things like that. Just lots of little side characters and things just made it a really rich film to watch, because I thought when, you know, there were just these five characters that maybe were going to be limited by that. I mean, obviously you don't want to get it out of hand, you know, or there's, you know, the 14 different emotions, you know, five kept it simple, but the little side characters like that really aided the story and the dialogue with the main five.
Mm. Bing Bong. Bing Bong was the name.
Bing Bong.
Voiced by Richard Kind.
Matt, what made you joyous about the film?
I thought it was really cool. I really liked the beginning where they set everything up. That was really fun. Like, and you met all the new emotions for the first time. What emotion do you think you would be if you were in a little girl's head?
I would probably say, I don't think I was too much like fear, and I don't think I was too much like sadness. Disgust, I maybe like a little bit of, because, you know, when you're young, you just sort of think your parents are so embarrassing and you're too cool for them, and you just think they're so lame, you're disgusted with what they do. But hopefully not too much. I mean, that's not my defining character feature. Anger, I like anger because he's impulsive. Sometimes he's just like, oh, I'm doing this, and just doesn't really care about the consequences. So he's, you know, can be a little bit like that sometimes. But I guess I'll have to go with joy. Surely you want to be, if you have to be one of the five characters, you'd like to be joy.
Yes. Yes, you would. But would you be?
Well, you'd be fear.
Me? Me? Why would I be fear?
Well, you know, like, you know, should I ask her out? Will it work? But we're friends. I don't want to ruin the friendship. But I want to say ask her out, but I don't want to say no either. What should I do? Jonathan, what should I do? Give me advice, and then I'll ignore your advice because I just never take it anyway.
Yeah, okay, so I overthink things. The overthinking side of things fits in with the fear, yes. Okay, no, I see that. I think it'd be that or joy, really. They're the two. Like,
to be fair, you are always the one that says, oh, how about this idea, or let's go on an adventure, let's go on a hike, or go for a game of laser tag.
Yes. So that sort of fits with the joy. You're right, though. Like, they're sort of probably the two. I guess this is what's interesting. We're all made up of different emotions and feelings. Which is the point of the movie, I guess.
Nailed it. Summed it up in fun.
Okay. Should we talk about what made us sad in the movie now?
Sad. Okay. Well, you know, I don't want to... we don't want to get into the plot, but I guess we can say that part of the film is that Riley and her parents, they're moving. So as well as seeing inside her head, we also do get outside and get to learn about those characters as well, which is good. And I guess there's just a really poignant moment about, you know, how that affects Riley. And she's sad. And, you know, and I was able to connect with that. And I felt very, very sad at the time. You know, I had actually been to the beach beforehand. You know, so some of the sunscreen was kind of running down into my eye. You know, there was tears, but they were sunscreen tears. You know, it was just a little bit coincidental. But, yeah, very, very sad part of the film for me.
Mm. Yeah, did you like the bit where we saw... Like, I thought we saw a bit too much outside of her head.
It's a tough one to balance because obviously it's less exciting because it's just normal people in the normal world as opposed to these, you know, characters that are emotions that are going on these crazy adventures on thought trains and chasing on going through on a magic... what's it, like rocket ships or whatever. Obviously, it's less exciting, but, you know, there needs to be a balance, and what happens with the emotions only has weight if we're able to relate that to the real characters. So, yeah, those scenes weren't necessarily the best scenes, but I think they balanced it well to get the best overall outcome.
Yes, and I think this is it. Like, with this movie, the things she's dealing with aren't uncommon things, because we've got to relate them to these are the things that normally make a girl feel sad, sort of thing. It's not a particularly extreme situation of sadness, but it works here because you can tell how, I don't know, how old is she, like 10 or 8 or something?
Yeah, probably about 10, I guess. Yeah,
how she would feel with having to move and having to say goodbye to all her friends. Like, that's a pretty big deal. Didn't you, Jonathan, when you were about 8, move?
Yeah, I was 6 years old when I moved.
You were a little girl. Jokes, here's a guy.
Not that there'd be anything wrong with that.
No, nothing at all. Just not what it was, not life.
You know, but to the best of my recollection, I mean, maybe it's gone into the memory dump, but as far as I can remember, I was a little boy. In the country of England, city of Manchester, and I moved all the way to Sydney, Australia. And, yeah, perhaps I was a little bit young, like maybe I didn't have quite the same, you know, maybe my friends I'd only had for 1 or 2 years as opposed to, you know, she might have had friends for her whole childhood. But, yeah, I was maybe able to relate to some of those things and, you know, it's a little bit scary and it's a little bit sad, but, you know, hopefully it worked out for the best. Who knows where I'd be Maybe I'd be hosting a podcast with some terrible English person.
Yeah, like Ricky Gervais. Okay.
Good for the download numbers, but I'd be clearly working on a far inferior podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Anger. What made you angry about Inside Out?
Okay, so the character of Sadness, when she touches the memory balls, she seems to transfer sadness to those memory balls, which is obviously not good. We don't want her character of Riley to have lots of sad memories. And the character of Sadness couldn't help herself. She kept on, even though she knew not to, and Joy told her not to, she would go and touch these balls. And it made me so, I was like, oh, stop it! That, if I was watching that, I was watching it myself, the characters inside my head, that would have been when my little anger character was be like, no, I told you not to touch that! Stop touching that, I'm going to put you in the corner!
Yeah.
Damn it, yeah. Phyllis.
So that's what made you angry?
Yeah.
Yeah. It made Joy even a little angry. Like, which wasn't really, she wasn't meant to be angry about anything.
Yeah. And I guess that ended up sort of being one of the main threads of the film. Because obviously you're always balancing your emotions, but I guess in this, you know, it was potentially a sad situation and we wanted it to be a joyous situation. And so those two perhaps ended up becoming the, you know, the most interesting and important characters in the film.
Yeah, I had an interesting critique of this film. Some people are upset because, oh, look, Joy, she's thin, she's attractive, and look at the sad one, fat character. What does this say to fat people? You should just be sad. You don't have anything to be happy about. Do you think there is some validity to that criticism?
Why? Hot topic, but screen verdict, not afraid of the hot topics. You know, to be honest, I didn't notice that. I didn't necessarily think that the sad character was fat. She was definitely shorter, maybe comparatively more stout, but, you know, she wasn't clearly just a big, obese character.
No.
Do I think weight should determine your happiness? No, not at all. I don't think that people should be sad because they're fat. You know, you can be skinny and unhealthy, and you can be larger and healthy, so there's not always a correlation. Sometimes people do gain weight when they're unhappy, but, you know, maybe people stop eating when they're unhappy. So I don't think one should be reflective of joy or sadness.
Yeah, I think rather than being a commentary on happiness or sadness, it's more just a joy is the lead. So, like, that's usually what happens in Hollywood. Like, the lead is usually thinner than the supporting.
You know, well, Fear, he was skinny. So, yeah. You know, that's not necessarily skinny is always good.
No. No, very good. So, yes, not really much made me angry about this movie, to be honest. That's why I thought of some anger that some other people had that I heard about secondhand. I don't even know who originally had this issue.
Well, what made you scared, if anything?
I think something that's made me scared with this movie is the number of non-original movies in Pixar's upcoming attractions. lineup. Because I think this is a pretty good movie. We haven't quite got to the verdict yet, but I thought it was pretty good. And probably their best film since Cars 2. Well, I mean, since Toy Story 3. and I just think, it's a shame they're not doing more original films, Pixar. They've got a lot more sequels, like, while they're trying to get back on track. So that's probably what scared me a bit, is looking at all the Finding Dory's and Toy Story 4's and stuff and going, oh, we're not going to see as many Inside Outs over the next sort of 5 years.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be fearful of, Cars 3 in particular. Within the film, I guess I was just invested in how it worked out. You know, there's a bit of a risk that, you know, we might lose some of the islands, we might lose some of the memories, and I was definitely rooting for that not to happen, because, you know, I definitely cared for the character of Riley and cared for the emotions, joy and sadness especially. So, yeah, I was just really hoping that it had a happy ending.
Oh, and I guess if you're listening to this, you haven't seen Inside Out yet, you'll have to watch the film to find out whether it does. So what disgusted you about the film?
What disgusted me? Gee, I'm not sure if I found anything disgusting. I mean, broccoli is pretty gross.
I like broccoli.
I do too. no, I don't know.
Let me check the Internet Movie Database page. See if something jumps out to me.
I mean, I can understand some of the things that were disgusting in the film, like something that might have smelled bad or been embarrassing, but it wasn't really, I didn't feel disgusted.
Should we have been disgusted that John Ratzenberger didn't have a bigger role?
What would you have liked to see John Ratzenberger do in the film?
That's a good point. I think they would have had to make a new character for him, maybe. I don't think he would have been a good Riley or Joy.
Do you even really need to explain it? You could just have Joy, Fear, Anger, Sadness, Disgust, and John Ratzenberger.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
The little John Ratzenberger in all of us.
Yeah, who was John Ratzenberger in this film? John Ratzenberger was Fritz. And for those who haven't listened to our other Pixar podcasts, John Ratzenberger been in every single Pixar film. It's a huge accomplishment. He's great. We love him. And not always, but quite often there's a correlation between how much he's in the film and how good the film is.
Yeah, it's the John Ratzenberger quotient. It's the easiest way to gauge how much you're going to like a Pixar film.
Yeah. Yeah. So he played the character Fritz. Do you remember the Fritz character?
Who was Fritz?
Let me refresh your memory. He is okay. On the Pixar Wiki. Oh, yes. He was the little blue blob that was doing a bit of the maintenance work and things like that in her.
Right. Fritz.
Yes. He had a little orange hard hat and a little moustache, John Ratzenberger-style moustache.
Very nice. Yeah, killed it, as the Ratzenberger does.
Yeah. I don't know what we would have done if he wasn't in this movie. I think it might have to just be last on our rank.
We'd have had to create a separate rank.
Yeah.
Ratzenberger Pixar films and non-Ratzenberger Pixar films.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So there we go. We've gone through all five emotions.
Yep. yes,
what
indeed.
A roller coaster.
Of discussion points.
Yes. Yes. I did have some friends arguing the other day whether they thought there should be another emotion, whether they left any emotions out. Do you think any emotions have been left out?
When I heard the names of each of the emotions, I was a little surprised at disgust. I maybe wouldn't have thought that would have been top five. But then it sort of became a little bit flexible in terms of, you know, being embarrassed or, you know, not into it, like too cool or whatever. So that there's a bit of flexibility there. But I think the other four were all pretty key. I'm not sure if there was anything that... I think it would have been too complicated if they added in too much more. You know, something like excited or something, you know, kind of was in the joy character. So, you know, I think they actually balanced it pretty well.
Yeah, I think all other emotions you can sort of fit under those sort of five headings. Like, they're all pretty broadly dealt with in the show, so... Or the movie. Yeah.
And, yeah. And we were just talking about this before the podcast. Inside Out was directed by Pete Docter.
Doctor's in the house.
Yeah. He's inside the house. And he previously directed Monsters, Inc. and Up, I believe.
Two of our favourites.
Yeah, so that was good, you know, when perhaps you're in a little bit of a form slump, you go, all right, who directed Monsters, Inc.? All right, that's... Get them back in the game, put them up in the rotation, and see if we can get back on form.
Mm.
Which maybe brings us to our screen verdict, to decide whether this Pixar is back on form.
Yeah. I thought this movie was really good. It was so nice. It's so nice to be taken into a new world of Pixar. Like, Pixar, at their best, have created new worlds. Whether it's the world of Wall-E, or the world of Ratatouille, or the world of Monsters, Inc., or the world of Toy Story. Like, all these different, unique environments of different kinds of characters and stuff. They're so rich, and they're so exciting, and I really like them. And it was nice to explore another one. And I think it's sort of back what they're doing best, creating original films that do things that are new. In some ways, the message it was sending was a pretty simple one about emotions. And at times, maybe I feel like they went a little bit, like, for an easy joke or something like that, rather than being clever. I really, to be honest, didn't like going into other people's heads and seeing their five emotions as well, because I just feel like that I want to see everything from her perspective. I didn't want to bounce around into other people's heads. And I think it sort of confused the concept a bit as well. Like, you know, everyone else, their five sort of looked all exactly the same as each other's. Hers did. Like, I just think I had a few issues with that in terms of consistency of theme and world. But it was still really, really good. I love this film. It was a great film. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
There you go, magazine 8 out of 10. Me, who you've really been waiting to hear from. I love the film. I thought it was so creative, really well-defined world, really well thought out, really clever. I love the characters. I love the animation. I thought it was really, really funny. I thought there were, you know, very few misses. It was really on point. High number of laughs and a really good amount. And when they landed, they really landed. I didn't really have that issue going into other people's heads because I thought, you know, it kind of related, you know, everyone to each other. You know, we all have sort of the same way of processing things, but we just have, I guess, personality, like seeing, you know, the way the mum thought about things, but it was sort of like a similar process, and I think they even did it for like the dog or something. I can't remember, but I actually like that. I didn't have a problem with that. The main thing that sticks out for me about the film is, in some ways, it's just a really simple story, and yet they managed to make it hit so hard. For me, in terms of an emotional impact, it was, you know, it reached the levels of the ending of Toy Story 3, which I was really amazed that it was able to do with such a simple story, which I think is, you know, the genius of it, because we can have, you know, grand things where the fate of the world, you know, depends on it, whereas this was just something that, you know, almost anyone would be able to relate to, and yet, and maybe that was part of why it was you were able to connect to it so much, because, you know, it really did hit you right in the feels, and I think that's what separates something from just being entertainment to being art. And I think this was a real achievement in both entertainment and the arts. So for that reason, I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10.
Whoa, huge score. Huge score. That's massive.
So now we have the unenviable task of trying to put this in the almighty Screen Verdict Pixar rank.
Okay, I'll read through them. I'll read through the list.
We know that the listeners have this off by heart. You know, they've probably printed it off themselves before the podcast, but, you know, just in case, you know, you spilt some soup on it or something, Matt will read it out now.
Number 1, Toy Story 3, 2, Monsters, Inc., 3, Toy Story, 4, 5, Wall-E, 6, Ratatouille, 7, Finding Nemo, 8, The Incredibles, 9, Toy Story 2, 10, A Bug's Life, 11, Monsters University, 12, Cars, then we've got a bit of a gap to 13, Brave, and then a fairly large gap for 14, Cars 2.
Okay, so obviously from my score, I'm going to probably put this towards the high end of the list. Matt, yours is a little bit more difficult because 8, you know, there's a lot of Pixar films that could be an 8 or above. So where are you thinking for Inside Out?
Honestly, I wouldn't put it above Ratatouille. But it's sort of close, like, Finding Nemo's the number after it, like that's 7. I do think that's where we've got a bit of a line, like in my head, I've got there's a bit of a gap between Finding Nemo and Ratatouille. So that's maybe where I'd be thinking of slotting Inside Out, maybe that's 7.
Okay, so for me, it's clearly above Ratatouille. It's just a matter of how high does it go.
Yeah.
So this is a tough one.
Wall-E, you really liked.
I love Wall-E. I think I actually fought for Wall-E over Up.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah, you would have. I was a big fan of Up. That's one of my favourite Pixars. So it's sort of good I was able to get Up over Wall-E all those years ago. Because it sort of created a bit of insulation for Up.
Like, well, I think this is better than Up, but it's not necessarily better than Wall-E.
Yeah, so I can just argue Wall-E versus Inside Out with you rather than Up versus Inside Out with you.
So is there anything that you're not prepared where you go, well, there's no way it's better than this. Like, there's an absolute ceiling for Inside Out.
Well, I'd say Toy Story 3 and Monsters, Inc. are two, like, that we both thought were the best, and, like, I just find it hard to put it above those two. Toy Story is one that I would have lower on the list. I think it's riding a lot on the coattails of being the first. But you've sort of done with what I did with Wally. Like, I'm not really, like, I much prefer Up, so I'm not going to, like, argue for it being above Toy Story 3, because then it goes higher than Up. I'm not going to argue being above Toy Story 1, sorry, because then it goes higher than Up. So, what do you think? Like, why don't you just talk through which of these films you think Inside Out is better than? Do you think it's better than Toy Story 3?
No.
Do you think it's better than Monsters, Inc.?
No.
Do you think it's better than Toy Story 1?
No.
Do you think it's better than Up?
Yes.
Do you think it's better than Wall-E?
No.
Do you think it's better than Ratatouille?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think, like, this is just my thought on where it's going to land Inside Out. I think we'll put it in at 6 above Ratatouille and below Wall-E.
I think that's fair. I think between where we were, that seems like the logical middle.
Yeah, because then the only film that's above it that you don't think is above it is Up. And the only film that's below it that I don't think should be below it is Ratatouille.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Look at that. Look. Man, we should be in Congress. Look.
Yes. Okay. So.
And the stakes are much higher here as well.
Yeah, this is a Pixar list. Yeah. So there we go. We've got, okay, 1 Toy Story 3, 2 Monsters, Inc., 3 Toy Story, 4 Up, 5 Wall-E, 6 Inside Out, 7 Ratatouille, 8 Finding Nemo, 9 The Incredibles, 10 Toy Story 2, 11 A Bug's Life, 12 Monsters University, 13 Cars, 14 Brave, and 15 Cars 2. Guys, the lead here is probably Pixar, well and truly back on track. Like, this isn't just at the bottom of sort of their top, like, you know, their classics. This is firmly in the middle, right in between Wall-E and Ratatouille, two of their best-reviewed films of all time. This is happy days for Pixar.
Yeah, definitely back on track. A couple of good ones in a row. Really, really happy, personally, with Inside Out. And, you know, we've got a special treat. For the first time ever, 2 Pixar films are going to be released in the one annual year, and it's an original.
Yes.
I believe it's going to be called The Good Dinosaur. So, I like dinosaurs. I like Pixar. I'm super pumped for November to come around.
Yes, and look, I'd just tell the Pixar people, just build up as much goodwill as you can with this before Finding Dory next year.
Oh, man. Well, you never know. Never know, mate. Look, just get Pete Doctor on the case. I don't know who's directing Finding Dory, but he could be the man for the job.
Yes.
Or one of us, you know. I'll see what I'm doing, and if it doesn't clash, drop us a line at facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast to either offer us a role directing a Pixar film, or just to let us know what you thought of Inside Out and our Pixar rank.
Yes. We've got some exciting housekeeping, Jonathan.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it's open. Housekeeping is open. Open. I was trying to make the sound of a door opening, but I guess doors don't go open. Okay. So anyway, Jonathan, I'm not sure if you've been following the news this week at all, but there have been some huge developments.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I've been thinking about this Pixar rank for the last 7 days.
Development 1. LeBron James has signed a deal with Warner Brothers Studios. Have you heard this?
I've heard of LeBron James. I've heard of Warner Brothers Studios.
Yeah, he's a basketball player, LeBron James, for the Cleveland Cavs, I believe.
I hear he's pretty good. I feel like he's probably, you know, nearly the greatest of all time. There's probably only one other person that you could compare him to.
Yes. Matt Noble. No, Shakes, obviously not.
He's
obviously
the Matt Noble of basketball.
Yeah, yes. No. But anyway, he signed a deal, a big deal with Warner Brothers. Details are not yet revealed. Okay, so there's a bit of mystery here. But also, about a week before the deal was signed, Warner Brothers took out some new trademarks on Space Jam.
Oh, man. Look.
What could this mean?
Look, I don't want to speculate. You know, will there be a Space Jam 2 with LeBron James? That's not for me to say. What I can say is that the Screen Verdict audience have been clamoring, begging, bombarding us with requests for a Space Jam podcast. If there's going to be a Space Jam 2, the only thing more exciting than a Space Jam 2 is a Screen Verdict Space Jam review.
Yes. Yes. So this is huge news, and you might not want to speculate, but the internet has. And there are people very excited on the internet for a Space Jam 2.
They're nearly throwing up with excitement.
Sorry?
I said they're nearly throwing up with excitement.
Yeah, they're very excited. So we will keep you posted on all Space Jam developments, both Screen Verdict and Warner Brothers Space Jam developments. Yeah,
you don't need to go to the Warner Brothers Twitter. Just go to facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast, and we'll have all the latest updates on a potential Space Jam movie.
Yeah, it's going to be something else if it's going to be a thing at all. How disappointing it'll be if it's just a LeBron James documentary or something. Why?
A Warner Brothers produced a web series.
Yeah. We've got exclusive access to him after the games. But... Oh, my. Nice something to go right for LeBron James after not winning that championship this year.
Yeah, it's tough playing 1v5, but we'll see. Yep. We'll see if the Cavs can pick up some teammates for him by next year.
Yes. Okay. So there we go. That's an Inside Out podcast.
There you go. Wow. It's you know, normally it's a sad time, the end of a Pixar podcast, because it's usually another year or so before we can do one. But we'll be back in November. I'm excited. I hope you guys are looking forward to it. And we'll see you then. But also, with something else, we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.